podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
So we're about to get to Beth Amorosica, get her reaction. She's briefed on the whole Bob Costas reaction. And so I'm just going to say this, that there was a time in my Emmy award-winning career as a journalist, as an adjunct professor, as a reporter, a news anchor, etc., that I was always I would couch everything. I was always very careful. I was a registered independent. I never had a political sign in my yard because I didn't want anybody to know my politics. And I really felt that that was important, to be that call it down the middle journalist, to report and not ever to make anybody feel like I was political. That was very important to me in my career. And I can do that. But that's not what this space is all about. And Rich Scioli can tell you, and Greg Stocker can tell you, it took me years actually to come out of the closet as a conservative woman. And then I always was a conservative. I was raised in a Republican, Christian, conservative family. That's true. Although my mom's side of the family, a lot of Democrats, UBU, that's cool. But I will not be ashamed or shrink when somebody there's that cue where somebody says, well, MAGA, that's a whole, and Trump with his nasty character or whatever. I will never just allow somebody to say that in my presence without just letting them know that I am out and proud as a conservative MAGA mom. That's who I am. That's my identity. So to a person who may very well have their little pronouns behind their name, okay, well, I should start putting like MAGA mom. That's my noun. It's not a pronoun, okay? So that was why it was important for me to say that, because I do feel that in this journey that we've experienced together as conservatives, as independents, and I was a longtime registered independent, I will say that we've experienced what it's like to sometimes bite your tongue and say, you know what, I'm not going to get into it. And I will tell you, I promise you that we as conservatives do that, I will say, 7 to 8 times, 7 out of 10, more than a person who's a liberal. And so that, to me, that's my experience. You can let me know yours. But here's just one more reason on top of the cake, other than the economy, other than the safety of our nation, the borders, securing the borders, getting violent criminals who were allowed by the millions in droves to come into this country under the previous administration. And we don't even know about it all because cops and law enforcement were not even allowed to document which ones are non-citizens. Okay. But here's one more reason. I want you to listen to this clip. This is during a congressional hearing. And this is going to give you chill bumps and make you sick to your stomach when you hear this. But we've heard about this. And initially, the rumblings were there are 60,000 children missing. There are 80,000. Remember this? 80,000 children missing. My God, it might be over 100,000 children who came into this country and went and then vanished. So listen to this congressional testimony. That is now, this is being revealed thanks to the greatest president, Donald J. Trump, and his administration.
So you're telling this committee that the Biden administration, while they were letting all of these unaccompanied minors into the country, and as we've talked about today, they weren't keeping track of them, they issued these kids a hotline that they could call if they had trouble with the sponsor family that they were put with, and you're saying that 65,000 calls to this hotline designated to protect these kids went unanswered? Is that what you're telling this committee?
Yes, sir. One case where a child's call was reporting that grown men were coming into his room at night and they were touching him. Nothing happened with that call. That call went unanswered until this administration took office, went through those 65,000 calls, made follow-ups, conducted a welfare check, and now that child has been rescued and that sponsor has been arrested. These are the safeguards that were put in place, but accountability and oversight was not had. I said that it was hard, it was easier to get a child.
So this is the testimony that I just wanted you to hear, as we have a different version of the At Dawn Stensland show. But the now the word coming out of this House Committee on Homeland Security and these hearings is that there was an actual pipeline, experts revealing and testifying how taxpayer-funded NGOs facilitated human trafficking and profited from the border crisis. And this, as children being trafficked, had a cry for help on a hotline that went unanswered. Now this administration and those within it, obviously, at many levels and local and state levels, I believe, are trying to answer that call, find more of these missing children. I wanted to bring that story to you. I'll get into it more, but it's a shocking revelation. Let's get into Beth Ann Rossica. Dan Borowski had booked her. And Beth Ann, thank you for your patience. We've had something happen that's never really happened in quite some time.
No. So no worries, Dawn.
So thank you. We had Bob Costas was on, had wanted to react to something from when he was on Meet the Press. We had commented, and it really just kind of flowed over from the morning show to this show. And so I don't know if you had a chance to hear that at all, but I just wanted to give you a chance to react to either the Costas situation, we're getting a lot of reaction, or the clip that I just played from these different Homeland Security hearings.
Well, let's start with the Costas piece, Dawn. I did not hear, but Dan kind of gave me the background on this issue. And, you know, I heard you just a few minutes ago in the opening, you know, talk about how, you know, you're a conservative and now you're proud to be a conservative and you're going to, you know, be clear about that and put that out there. I think the thing that, people seem to forget is that this issue of boys playing in girls' sports, it is not a conservative issue. All the polling on this shows that this is an 80-20 issue. 80% of Americans don't think that boys should be able to play in girls' sports. This is not even a conservative issue. This is simply common sense. I don't consider myself a conservative, but I am pushing back hard on this issue because we are doing damage to our girls, to our women, to our society when we deny biology. And to your point, we all have to be willing to speak up and speak out and let people know that this is absolutely positively wrong. Because until the 80% of people who believe this speak out against it, we're going to continue to deal with this kind of backlash.
Yeah, it's well said. And it's a great point as far as why so many people who I think they told us, probably told you as well, hey, I'm not really a political person. I don't really always vote, but that issue, this issue with Title IX, with girls protecting girls and women in sports, I think brought a lot of people out who were never before thinking about this issue or politics in general, but I think it did fire them up because they felt like it was way over the top.
Absolutely. And I mean, you see, you know, so many women. I'm in touch with Jennifer Say, who was the former head of Levi's, who mm-hmm. basically had to step down because she was canceled over speaking out about school closures. And she's started a whole new athletic brand to basically support, you know, keeping boys out of girls' sports, XXXY Athletics. I purchase from her. I support her because, you know, she's bold and working with Riley Gaines and out there front and center talking about this issue. And there are so many people concerned about this, but people aren't brave enough to speak out about it. And one of the things that I really appreciate about Jen and where she comes from, she's like, I'm done like playing into their language. I'm not going to use your pronouns. I'm not going to call you a girl. I'm going to call you by your given name. I mean, she is unapologetic and in their face about this. And while I don't necessarily agree with that approach 100%, I certainly understand the need for it, because the pendulum has swung so far in the other direction. Listen, none of us care about, you know, what your name is or how you want to identify or how you want to live your life. I don't care about that. Those are your choices. You do what you want to do. But when you start invading girls' spaces, when you start taking away opportunities from girls and women, scholarship opportunities, roster spots in college, it's absolutely positively wrong. And it's the diametrical opposite of what Title IX was intended for. And people like Bob Costas and anybody else who wants to pretend that this is okay, these people are delusional, Dawn. And I think that we have no choice but to call them out for who they are. This is not about protecting trans rights. This is about protecting girls and women. I don't want boys in the bathroom with girls. I don't want a man with a penis in the bathroom with me. I don't want that. And we shouldn't have to fight and yell and scream to get what is due to us. But people like Bob Costas and others who continue to perpetuate this nonsense, it really is problematic. And I think you're right to call him out on that. It's absolutely wrong.
Well, he wants to come back. I don't know if... I had said to Dan, ask him to come back in our YouTube chat and all the, you know, on social media. You know, they're saying, don't bring him back. As you know, Beth Ann, I mean, my feeling is I'm always about the conversation, and I love the conversation. I do crave a time when we could talk about just policies and it did not get so personal and so pointed and nasty, because I used to love to, even with my family or with, you know what I mean? Like just talking about policy and have a passionate difference. Do you know what I'm saying? But without.
Oh, absolutely. Civil discourse. Yes. We've lost civil discourse. I mean, it is out the window. And I think we live in such a polarizing time. I think, you know, Trump is part of that, but it's a bigger issue. I mean, it's a bigger issue. You know, I've been on this show before. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't love Trump. He's not my favorite person in the world, mm-hmm. but I appreciate the policies, and I can separate the things that I dislike about him from the things that I do like about him. And I can absolutely give him credit where credit is due. So that's the part that I really don't understand. That, you know, there are people that just can't, their Trump derangement syndrome is so strong, it's so pervasive, that they can't separate the man from the policy and focus on some of the good things that they did. And listen, these are the same people who, you know, when Bill Clinton and the Monica Lewinsky incident, mm-hmm. you know, they could certainly separate that out. They were willing to say, well, we like his policies and, you know, what he did wasn't really that bad. Mm-hmm. So these are the same people that say, like, we can't get past, you know, Trump's tweets or his comments or whatever mm-hmm. it is, you know, that they dislike about him. But you're absolutely right. People are not capable of having rational discussions. And it's very disheartening. And I do feel like, you know, this is what our country was founded on. And, you know, I hope that we can find a way back. But I do think that it speaks to, you know, I think that there are polarizing factions in both parties. You know, the 10% on the left and the 10% on the right that have these hardcore, like, in my mind, just very, very myopic views. They're incapable of having conversations that will actually lead to some type of understanding or maybe, you know, change in opinion.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dr. Beth Ann Rossica, when you look at, you know, here we are, I was thinking about this, a lot of colleges and a lot of schools actually start maybe a month from this Friday, about-ish. And when you look at the new school year, because your PhD obviously is somebody in education and you're a mom concerned about the quality of education and all of that. When we look at our region, Chester County, Philadelphia area, let's say, and even New Jersey, I'll take it there, and thinking about Title IX, thinking about learning loss, thinking about moving forward, trying to keep the politics out of school and the learning and the love of learning in school, what do you see? Here we are, the summer of 2025, as you look forward to the new school year.
Well, unfortunately, Dawn, I still see a lot of school districts, the majority of school districts in the collar counties in Philadelphia, that are far more invested in identity politics, in, you know, hardcore progressive views, and they're not focusing on the learning loss. That, you know, even in affluent school districts, we have, you know, only 60 or 70% of students proficient in reading and math. It's not a good situation that we have school districts that continue to perpetuate critical race theory. They continue to perpetuate equity, social justice initiatives. And, you know, one of the latest articles that I did before I was out on vacation in the beginning of the month, right before the holiday, I looked at the policy for every single school district in Chester, Bucks, Montgomery, and Delaware County to look to see if they were in compliance with the president's executive order on Title IX. And the majority of school districts are not. And some of them are just unapologetically mm-hmm. putting out there that, you know, not only can boys use the bathroom of their choice, that they will not tell parents if their child is using a different name or transitioning at school. They have statements like, we want to eliminate the practice of segregating based on gender. We want to use gender neutral language in communication. We want to eliminate or reduce the practice of segregating students by gender. One school district, Colonial School District, in their policy has an entire chart with like 15 different ways of using pronouns. Now, they're spending all of this time on allowing kids to use whatever bathroom they want, play what on sports team they want, focusing on pronouns. I mean, literally, if you looked at Colonial's policy, it's mind-blowing. They have the masculine, feminine, gender neutral, you know, all of these things. And they talk about possessive adjectives, possessive pronouns, reflexive pronouns for transgender students. And I could guarantee you that a majority of students couldn't even identify what a possessive pronoun is. So we are spending all this time on all of this virtue signaling nonsense when our kids can't read and write and do math. And so I think that our school districts and our school boards, and let me just remind all your listeners, this is a year in Pennsylvania where we have school board elections. So half of your school board, four or five of your seats, are going to be up for election. And you need to know where your candidates stand on these types of issues, because the school board is the one that approves these policies. And if your school district's not in compliance with federal law, then you need to hold your school district accountable for getting in compliance. So I continue to be concerned about the state of education in the collar counties. The amount of money that we are spending, taxes continue to go up year after year after year, and our academic outcomes continue to decline.
Yeah, and Colonial School District is not far from my home. I'm on the Philadelphia Chestnut Hillside, but it's Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. So mm-hmm. that's, you know, if you look at the website, the first thing, equity, inclusion, and belonging. That's
right.
You know, one of their slogans there. Beth Ann Rossica, we have to, you know, I could listen to you all day because I know you do so much research. So that latest article, which is a terrific article, and everybody can go to broadandliberty.com and check out all the great work that Broad and Liberty does. But it's Beth Ann Rossica. Majority of Philadelphia area school districts are out of step with Title IX. And as usual, Dr. Beth Ann Rossica, you're doing your research, so really appreciate you, and I love hearing from you.
Well, thanks so much for having me on, Dawn, and I'll look forward to talking to you again. Take care.
Thank you so much. You as well. Really appreciate it. Man, am I fired up. I am fired up.
Have you been able to take a breath yet?
So somebody, and you know, we lost everybody on the YouTube chat because it was like all this, like we went half an hour over and it was all this craziness. But somebody said, Dawn is blushing. I was, my face was like, I could, you know, when like your face turns red, like and hot, which hasn't happened to me in a really long time. But I was just like, and not that I'm angry because I don't get angry, but I am fired up because I feel like, I don't know. I feel like this is a great example of folks who are in a bubble, and especially, I'll say, media elites, where they feel, but not necessarily just the other side, where they feel like they have every right to just say, to talk about us, as meaning somebody who voted for Trump and somebody like me, who, as Amy first said, is a Trumpaholic. Yeah, I like Donald J. Trump. If his policies sucked and if he was not successful, I would not be saying this, right? It's part of the celebration is his great success and everything that he's doing and his motivation, BTW, without pay. He did not get into this to get wealthy. It's a joke to me that anybody thinks he got into this for money, because if you can imagine being shot at, not just shot at, taking a bullet in your ear. I mean, it did hit him. So came within like an eighth of an inch of, you know, being assassinated and murdered. But your home being raided, your family being persecuted, your business being persecuted in the city where you were born, that's your hometown that you love. Think about all the levels of just persecution, the media lying about you, basically Congress, Republicans and Democrats in the swamp, just trying to persecute, prosecute you. If you think that a multi-billionaire living his best life with his stunning wife, his beautiful family, his homes, the vacations, the golf he could have, if you think that there's one iota of a chance that Donald J. Trump did all of this to get wealthy, well, you're just stupid or crazy or both. See, now I'm fired up. But we have another guest that Dan booked. Unfortunately, Dan booked so many guests. So Dan's like in my ear going, please, please, God. So we have to break there. We have another great guest around. Who do we have again?
We got Tracy Petticoat coming up next.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, state senator.
So our state senator and as well military veteran. You know Tracy very well. We've interviewed her here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. She's always making a difference, and she cares deeply about the issue that we just discussed, which is protecting girls and women in sports, among other things. So we'll get into it. Thanks for being here. Be right back. At the
lemonade, fresh squeeze lemonade. Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
White House, President Trump is entertaining the president of the Philippines. A lot happening in D.C., a lot breaking and developing. Martin Luther King Jr. assassination files released by DOJ, thousands and thousands of pages, which over the years many have requested. So we'll get into all of that moving forward. Caroline Leavitt on fire. So we'll get to Caroline Leavitt, as she's the White House press secretary. And I think she's just on point, and I really think the world of her. You know who else I think the world of? Stacey Garrity, as you know, and I've interviewed her over the years. We've met multiple times at various events. I think she's sharp, common sense, plain spoken, and just smart. I mean, she's the state treasurer, and I think she does a great job. And think about the fact that Stacey Garrity, during the previous election, she's one of the few people who got more votes than Donald J. Trump. Remember that? So I have no doubt that Stacey Garrity will be the governor of Pennsylvania one day. Now, I tried to get her to announce. You know that I did. I did my best, and she said,
"Is there anything you want to tell us?"
Tell us. And she said, "Well, 90% she's exploring. Obviously, Dan Muser dropped out, so there's Stacy, and so I think at some point she's got to jump into this both feet and do it and get her done. And I think she is somebody who, because she's has great military experience, she is smart, she's savvy, but you know what? She's also just authentic and likable." So I think everything about her makes her perfect for that job. And I would love to see her as governor. And not just because she's a woman, but that's, let's, for me, that's, yeah, that's frosting on the cake. So I think the world, and you know this about me, if you've seen me interview her, Stacey Garrity, I think governor, I would love to hear that. Governor Garrity. You know what I mean? You've got the alliteration and all of that.
Sounds great.
So, Treasurer Stacey Garrity, she has not announced, but you know who I also think the world of? That's Tracy Pennycook, who you've heard me interview over time. We've talked about girls and women in sports and also common sense legislation, getting things done, hardworking. And also, you as well, Representative Pennycook, you're somebody as well who has the military background and military service that we really appreciate. Welcome and thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Don.
Sure thing. So I had mentioned this last week, and it just seems like there's always so much breaking news. So we didn't get to really air this out. What is going on with you know, women in Pennsylvania and as well just women in politics looking at the put-downs that are happening, some demeaning and disappointing behavior? We want to get into all of that. Governor Josh Shapiro has been called out, as well as other groups, to say, what's going on here with this little demeaning situation and the tone that would not be taken, I think, if these were men? And I'm going to start here with this, and I'll back into it this way. I'm not a person, I don't think you are either. It is really, really, really hard for me to say, to call out something and say, well, that was sexist. That is, my husband will say it before I say it. Do you know? Because I don't want to be that woman who ever says that. I believe in merit. I believe in just working hard and earning people's respect, not because of, you know, and I'll even say, well, it's because because I'm a Norwegian, they're discreet, you know, or something. I'll joke about it. Do you know where I'm coming from on this one? I think conservative women especially, we're very sensitive to calling out and saying, well, that's because they're sexist.
No, and I agree with you. And I will tell you, in the military, that's exactly how you get ahead, is on merit and hard work and not because of your gender. So for this comment to be made about Stacey Garrity, a woman who has served her country honorably, it was demeaning, it was dismissive, it was disrespectful. And honestly, so 1990s. so like, come on, guys. Really? You really think that that's going to have an effect on a combat veteran? On a woman who, you know, came into the military roughly the same time I did in the 80s, when women were not given a lot of opportunity. She rose to the rank of colonel, multiple combat tours in difficult situations. You know, you got to remember, we don't get all the information and all the resources we need when we go downrange. You make do with what you have, with the limited information, with the limited resources, but you get the job done. And that's what Stacey has done. So for this comment to be made about her, it really was disappointing. But I have to be honest with you, Josh's silence is consent. And that tells me he's afraid of Stacey Garrity.
I would agree with you, State Senator Tracy Pennycook. I would agree with you 100%. I think, and does, so my question here is as well, does he regret that he, you know, he and many Democrats actually endorsed her?
You know, isn't that interesting that she was good enough to be the state treasurer as long as she stayed in her lane, you know, don't step out of your lane because the political machine of Pennsylvania has a plan. Well, you know what? I think she's just the right woman to disrupt that apple cart and to say, no, we're going to put the average hardworking Pennsylvanian ahead of politics. She's going to do the right thing for every Pennsylvanian. And she has shown that. She's a hard worker. She's been all over this state. She's looked at our investments. She's looked at the pension plans, and she's made the right calls. She's returned a ton of property to the citizens of Pennsylvania. She's worked across the party lines. She's very common sense, very likable. So I think this message that was attempted to be portrayed to Stacey, I think it backfires tremendously. I think it really makes people go, whoa, wait a minute. And not every, just because the trade union bosses are saying one thing, as we've seen in previous elections, the trade members aren't always with the trade bosses. And we've seen that with Trump. So I suspect that there's going to be people going, whoa, just because, you know, you made a demeaning comment because she's a woman or she's not smart enough or what? Like, it makes people kind of question what you're thinking when you make a derogatory comment like was made against Stacey. At the end of the day, she's a good candidate. Mm-hmm. She's a very, very good candidate. And I think she's got people going, wait a minute, what? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really impressive. I think that's good for the Commonwealth. I think she brings a lot to the table. And who in their right mind wants to go up against a combat veteran? Mm-hmm. No one. Because she has had tough situations that she has managed to get through with grace and confidence. She is the real deal. Yeah. She truly is an amazing woman. She's resilient. She's got amazing courage under fire. She's a great leader. Honestly, mm-hmm. Governor Shapiro's right to be nervous.
Yeah.
He should be nervous. He should want someone other than Stacey Garrity because she's going to be a tough opponent. Because she is liked by so many people. She brings so much to the table. And I think it's high time we do have a woman governor.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. I think I just wonder when, you know, maybe what I started to think about when I asked her last time, Treasury, you know, our treasurer Stacey Garrity was on. I asked her, you know, well, are you ready? Do you have an announcement? And she said, well, not 90%. You know, she's exploring this obviously, but at what point? I mean, I know she has a little over a year, should she get moving and just say, yep, I want to be your next governor? What do you think is the appropriate timeline? I mean, how can we talk her? Basically, what I'm saying is how can we talk her into this? All right. Let's speed this along.
I've been trying to talk her into it for a couple of months now because I think sooner rather than later is the best way to go. But, you know, honestly, I like that she's being very thoughtful. Mm-hmm. I like that she's being very measured. This is a big decision, not only for her, but for Pennsylvania. And she's talking to a lot of different people to get a lot of different views on her race. I think she'll announce, you know, in the next couple of weeks. And I think, quite frankly, she's going to hit the ground running like she does. She's going to work hard, and she's going to connect with the people of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
She really is.
One of the other pieces of this, when we think about what happened, and I know you've written a lot about this as far as thinking about jobs and thinking about making Pennsylvania an AI leader, thinking about what happened just last week here in Pennsylvania with the announcement, a huge announcement at a state level. Take me through, I mean, you're in Montgomery County, obviously. Everybody knows you in this space, at least, because you've been on a ton here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and during this time slot, but many others, Senator Pennycook. So can you take me through as far as last week and what you're working on with AI, with the jobs, and what this means and how exciting it is for all of us here in Pennsylvania?
So I will tell you, the $90 billion investment in Pennsylvania is historic. And President Trump was shocked that a freshman senator, Dave McCormick, was able to get these industry leaders and venture capitalists all in the same room, all excited about AI jobs, data center jobs, energy jobs. We are literally the keystone. We've got natural resources underneath our feet. We have decommissioned power plants that we can turn the lights back on. We have clean energy. We've got the trained workforce that we need, and many of them are high-paying jobs in the building trades. And AI, we are the epicenter of AI out in Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Montgomery County, Bucks County. Lehigh County, we're right behind Pittsburgh. So there's a lot of investment coming in. Google, I'm so impressed with Google. They saw a need with small businesses and needing to understand how to use AI to improve their small businesses, but maybe they don't have the investment capital to put into the AI. Google is going to come into the state of Pennsylvania, and they are going to train small businesses to use AI for free. That's huge. That's a huge boost to our small businesses. The data centers. We're going to have a data center in Limerick, Pennsylvania, right in my district, in front of the meter of the nuclear power plant. But that's going to be 3 to 4 years of good-paying construction jobs and then good-paying data center jobs. That's amazing.
That is.
Well, those data centers are going to bring more jobs from other industries. And, you know, not only building trades, but supply chain logistics is going to be coming in. Transportation is going to be coming in. You know, that leads to, you know, that data center is going to be bringing huge school tax money to that school district. Why wouldn't we want more of that? And because we're co-locating the energy production with the data centers, our residential users will not see a decrease in availability of their electric. So that's really important as well. So the fact that we are coming together in Pennsylvania, making this all happen, is huge. Stacey Garrity was at that event, and she talked about what a huge opportunity this is for not only the constituents, but good jobs. We want people to come to Pennsylvania for our good jobs. We mm-hmm. want to be business friendly. And we are business friendly. We're getting there. We're dropping the corporate net income tax. We're increasing net operating loss write-offs. We are doing those kind of things, but this puts us over the edge. Who does not want to come to a state that's getting $90 billion of investment in jobs, in job creation, in energy jobs? I mean, this is huge. It really is huge.
You know, when we talk about this with AI and infrastructure and jobs, one of the topics that always comes up, of course, is that we need, like you just said, with Google trying to train people in. And at the school level, when we think about the schools, the learning loss, I mean, schools are still, I think kids are still catching up even after all this time has passed after the pandemic. And there are a lot of distractions. And unfortunately, the distractions in school, I think, have to do with cultural/political pronoun stuff. So how do you see, you know, focusing, and I think where I'm going here is school choice kind of stuff with trade schools, but how do we focus in Pennsylvania so that education is meeting the needs of this great demand for especially kids, I would say right around middle school age, you know what I mean? To start teaching, you know, interesting them in these careers.
So I completely agree as far as trade schools. We need to get them in fifth and sixth grade so that they've got some time, not eighth grade, because by then other kids have already applied and those spots are limited. We need to expand our career and technical opportunities for kids because, let me tell you, you can't find an electrician or a plumber. And when you do, you got to be really nice to them because they're so hard to find. And actually, at the summit last week, Dave Rowe was there from Dirty Jobs, and he said for every 5 that are leaving the trades, only 2 are coming in. So there's this huge imbalance, and those are good-paying jobs. Electricians, welders, they start at 6 figures. Who wouldn't want that job?
Yeah.
But I think something else that's really, really important that we struggle with in Pennsylvania, we got to get back to basics. If a child can't read and do math, they are sunk. They have no future. we have kids that are graduating from high school and that cannot read at grade level. No, you have just failed that child. And that gets into school choice. That gets into you're in a failing school. No, no, no. We owe you a quality education, not a failing education. We've got to say to those parents, this school doesn't meet the standard. Your child can go X, Y, or Z. It is not about the teachers union. It is about the student. We've got to reverse the thought process and say, Billy and Susie have to be able to read by the end of third grade, or they have to be on a projection for the end of fourth grade. And if they aren't, they got to stay back and they've got to repeat it. Then we've got some amazing programs out there, first in math, first in reading, where the kids play these games online and they learn math, but they practice so much that the skills are ingrained in them. And I kind of was like, ah, here we go, another computer program, until I sat with my granddaughter and I was amazed, amazed. She loves it. That's her screen time. She loves to have her 30 minutes a day, and so she doesn't have the learning loss over the summer. I think we need to get back to basics of reading, phonics, getting parents involved with their kids' education, and that means giving them opportunities. If you're in a failing school, there is absolutely no reason you should still be there. Shutter the door, move on to something else. It's absolutely imperative that we rescue our children.
Amen. We have to leave it there for now, but the conversation continues. Pennsylvania Senator Tracy Penicuik, thanks so much for being here today, and we'll continue that conversation about a future Governor Garrity.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Senator Penicuik. Really appreciate it. Love the conversation where we went there, talking about the creation of jobs, bringing back the jobs that left Pennsylvania. So much to talk about, and we'll get your thoughts, too. Thanks for being here today. What a crazy fired up Tuesday it is. Wow.
So much going on. This is crazy.
I know. I'm so fired up.
Have we heard about your vehicle yet?
Ah, my Honda.
Yeah,
I have the HERV.
The HERV, not the curve.
What is Larry has the CRV. I have the HRV.
Yeah.
So mine is a little smaller and sportier. That's my Honda.
The HERV.
My HERV. Thanks to Piazza Auto Group and their five Honda dealerships. Honda winning more 2025 Kelley Blue Book Consumer Choice Awards than any other brand. That includes best overall brand, most trusted brand, and best value brand. So whether you're looking at the Accord or maybe the CRV or the Pilot, you're choosing a vehicle backed by real drivers, just like you and me. So come experience the award-winning excellence at Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or Springfield. Or just go online, PiazzaHonda.com, for all of today's special offers. PIAZZA, PiazzaHonda.com. Tell them Dawn sent you. So the developing story of the moment is that President Trump outside the White House greeting the Philippines president at the White House, kind of a little photo opportunity. He's wearing the yellow tie. I always look to the tie color. So the yellow tie of friendship. That's what I do notice he's wearing a lot of yellow lately. Because it matches the backdrop when they're inside the White House and they do those seated news conferences. Because he is so conscious as a developer. This is my theory on this. But he loves the backdrop. So when you have this where he's seated and he has a yellow tie and then behind him kind of some gilding and the white fireplace and then the gold curtains, I think that's part of Trump. He's always looking at the table, the optics, and that's from his hotel and business experience. That's just my thought as to why he's very conscious of the tie color. Do you notice? The jacket's always the deep, dark blue, the white shirt. Anyway, I have to go there. But so Kevin Poles, our friend, is calling in, wants to comment on the Bob Costas interview that – when did that even start? Like 9:15, Kev? Then it went over, and we're all like just kind of a little bit thrown today, but not in a bad way.
Okay, so allow me a brain dump. First of all, my daughter is crushing it at Chestnut Hill College. Hint, hint. Got a $5,000 internship. So,
nice.
Dawn, you know where I'm going there.
I know.
Okay. Anyway, so... with respect to Casas, just like, okay, I can separate the person from policies.
Mm-hmm.
just like my mom. My mom was almost didn't want to vote for Trump because this last time because his personality, but did. With me, given the fact that I love Dave Matthews Band, but they support Mumia Abu-Jamal. Mm. And loved, always wanted to go see them, but I'm like, really? So
yeah,
so was holding off on that.
Yeah,
so
I get it.
But yeah.
I was just talking to Maureen Faulkner about that, you know, just on Sunday with the families behind the badge, Children's Foundation, the big bike ride with Nick and Greg, and all of, you know, our team here at Talk Radio 1210, and 2,100. Bikers and many of you raising money. You can still.
But I also had to endure Bruce Springsteen in concert. Yeah. Endure him twice in concert. Once at both at JFK. He was actually, if you know Encore, U2, 1987, Joshua Tree got up on stage to sing Encore. Sam Cooke's "Stand By Me."
Aww.
And I was young. And I turned to my mom and said, take me home now. Because he rounds up my talentless list of the hat trick of talentless hacks. Mm-hmm. Him, Jimmy Buffet, and Kiss. Aside from politics.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So.
Well, thank you,
Kev. Love you. I can separate,
and
right?
Yes. We can all separate that. Love you. And I've said to Kev, I'm right in Chestnut Hill. I have to take your daughter to lunch, or once school starts back up again, hopefully we can take a breath. But thank you, Kevin Poles. By the way, you know what Kev made me think of? One of the greatest protest songs, and this, I love the subtlety of it. A lot of people don't even realize that one of the greatest protest songs was Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? It's just a simple, what's going on? And it's a great song, a beautiful sound, what's going on? But if you listen to it and then you understand. What's going on? Brother, brother, brother. Great protest song, and with his beautiful, I love Marvin Gaye. But that's kind of what I think for those of us who have felt, you know, that we were canceled, that we're sick of it, we're not going to take it anymore. What's going on? You know what's going on? Our guy won. He's in office. That's what's going on. And it's a new day in America, a great day. I also listened in its entirety to Caroline Leavitt yesterday because she is just on fire. And you think about through her example when she's, what, in her mid to late 20s. She was an intern with Trump during the campaign. I mean, she's, what, barely 4 or 5 years out of college and has this incredible job where you saw in the first administration with Trump where you had these goofy guys. Remember that? And Trump would imitate Zioli would imitate every one of them, the Mooch, Scaramooch, all of them. And they just, and it just shows you it's not an easy job. You think of all of the White House press secretaries and how some of them just looked ridiculous or would make gaffes or would stumble or just read from the binder like the past administration. And so she makes it look so easy. But one of the things that I do so appreciate about Caroline Leavitt is that she clearly loves her job, that she is an unapologetic conservative young woman, Trump supporter, and that she just says it like it is. This is the way it is. This is the fact. And I just love that about her. I really appreciate it. And I think she gives permission. There's this old saying that we all need permission. I don't know if I really subscribe to that, but she does really, I think, empower young women, all women, all conservatives to say, yeah, you know what? This is the way it is. Here's how it is. Here's how I see it. No, I'm not going to let you get away with that anymore. I really appreciate that she is that way. And yesterday in her briefing and outside, just riffing, no notes, no binder, no book, just saying it like she is in total command of her job, the facts, and you know, that she's a spokesperson for the White House and for President Trump. Just, I'll tell you what, of all the talent that Trump has ever, you know, you think about The Apprentice, or you think about his career, I don't know that he has ever discovered a talent like her. But man, I just think it'll be fun to see where she goes after this job. I hope she keeps this job the whole 4 years. There's a big burnout factor in that. Feel bad for anybody who has to follow her. But I really think it'll be fun to watch Caroline Leavitt as she moves on throughout her career, her life, and really balances it all. Marriage, the baby, all of that. So 855-839-1210. What a day. Appreciate you and appreciate my guys. You know, just a moment ago, we heard the state senator, Tracy Pinnacook, talk about, when you find like that great, that electrician, that plumber, that HVAC guy, that's your guy, and you just want to hug him and you just appreciate that you found that guy, because they're hard to find, especially the good ones. And that's where my guys at Marvin E. Cans come in. We had a Mitsubishi Electric heating and air conditioning mini split unit installed in our lower level to where our office is. We had a lot of problems down there, a lack of duct work and all of that, not the proper ventilation. And that's why this thing, this mini split by Mitsubishi Electric heating and air conditioning, it's a total game changer. And you can look it up. We did a video just so you can see how it works, and you can check that out on the website. But it really is a game changer. You're going to love it. And so Marvin E. Cans, KANZE.com, MarvinEcans.com. Tell them Dawn sent you. Yeah, the guy in the White House right now impresses me much, impresses me a lot. My husband got me tickets to see her concert. And I think David got roped into that one because my girlfriend couldn't go.
Yeah.
So poor David. God bless my kids.
How was she live?
She's awesome.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shania, she's fantastic.
She was strong in that era of auto-tune, so you never know how it's going to go, you know?
So President Trump is meeting with the Philippines president. If you look at C-SPAN or CNN, his real name is Ferdinand Marcos Jr., but everybody calls him Bong Bong. What a cool nickname, Bong Bong.
Huh.
Bong Bong Marcos, which is what Fox IDs him as, which is kind of cracks me up. So President Trump has been meeting with him. By the way, did you know there was a small earthquake?
What?
That rattled.
No.
This is North Jersey, but it was felt as far away as Maryland. So it was Morris, New Jersey, but it was felt. Yeah, Baltimore, they felt it. U.S. Geological Survey. This is always, remember, we have felt Jersey quakes here in Pennsylvania. This one was a smaller one, only 1.6 on the good old Richter scale. Just thought I'd mention that to you. No, nobody hurt. I don't think there's any damage. And no, it wasn't because Bob Costas was on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Although I think
groundbreaking.
We were rattling and rolling over here.
I'm looking for any kind of details as to why the guy's name is Bong Bong, but
it's just his nickname. Bong Bong.
What it says is just deal with it. It's his nickname.
You got BB.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are these Trump nicknames? You know, sometimes I wonder, like, BB. Benjamin Netanyahu is BB. And, he's Bong Bong.
Bong Bong.
Bong Bong.
Hmm. Okay.
So you got that going on. Trump, of course, you know, speaking out. Everybody constantly is asking him about the Fed chair and what's going on with interest rates. Jerome Powell, would you just do it already and just lower the interest rates? I don't know. Is he being stubborn? I don't get it.
Sticking it to Trump.
I really don't. But tomorrow I will try to get more into the issue that I was trying to. I wanted to lead with it at 10, but then we had the Bob Costas reaction and all of that happening. But I just want to point out to you that this is active in Congress, that the House Committee on Homeland Security, you know who's on that committee is Brian Fitzpatrick. Because I know you guys love him. You're not mad at him or anything.
No. Go Fields of Jasmine.
Possibly. I know. And we will have the... What?
I said, is that what it was, Jasmine? I feel like I keep getting that wrong.
Here's the thing about Fitzpatrick. And we will have this conversation. There's so much we have to talk about. We are going to have this conversation. We're going to have it out. Because I know that you're mad at him. that he did not vote for the big, beautiful bill and all of that. But on the other hand, he's somebody who's the only Republican who's able to get reelected in Bucks County and in purple Bucks, if that's where we're going, but not in Monk. Look at Montgomery County. Look at Delco. Look at Chesco. They've all gone blue. They've all gone to the D's. He's that one guy who's been able to hold on to it. And so we have to have that conversation. But he's on this particular House committee where they were revealing how these NGOs, the allegation is, facilitated human trafficking and actually profited from the border crisis. It's really sickening. And you had prominent individuals testifying. So we played a clip for you, and I will get into that more and delve into that because we don't talk about it enough. I also, real quick here, because I have to break, real quick, do you know that, remember the Wall Street Journal did that bizarre thing where they said that Trump, they had the birthday book, and there were a ton of people in a birthday book from like decades ago, and they had Trump, who reportedly wrote a birthday message, which has nothing to do with anything, tied it to the, because it was for Epstein. And so now Caroline Levitt, one of the announcements is that Wall Street Journal, you are not invited to go to Scotland because freedom in Scotland, and you're not invited because you're naughty, WSJ. So they're uninvited. And they're not going on Air Force One. So we got that going on, by the way. So we got to talk about my friends at Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. You've heard me talk about Mike and Mark Chapman. Started their business some 30 years ago. As their families grew, their business has certainly grown. And if you're thinking about redoing your siding, it's the perfect time. And Chapman has all the choices for you. They're currently offering, this is great, 20% off all siding. That means fiber cement siding or the vinyl siding, Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. They've got you covered. 30 years experience, Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. They complete every, and I can vouch for this. They do a beautiful job. Everything's written out just as you want it. And everything you picture, everything you discuss, there are no surprises here. And they're going to fit this within your budget, okay? I love that too. But it's impeccable. Precision, care, professionalism. And these guys, they love what they do. It's actually fun to watch the Chapman guys at work because they love what they do. There's a real camaraderie, just great guys. So there is a Chapman difference. I can vouch for it. And I want you to experience the Chapman difference for yourself. By the way, they offer 18-month interest-free financing. Text, you can call 610-431-8898, ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell Dawn sent you. Well, we were a little bit hijacked in a good way today by Bob Costas, really Greg Stocker. So we lost a lot. So I apologize. We were trying to, you know, sprinkle in some news, if you will. There's a ton going on today, and we're looking. I didn't even get into the fact that the MLK Jr. files were dropped, thousands of files. We have so much breaking and developing. There's economic news. There's local news. There's national news. So I apologize that I didn't get as in depth as I usually do, but thanks for sticking with us.
We start at 6 a.m.
and end at 10 a.m.
Yes.
Sorry, Greg.
And so, and I will just say thank you, Mr. Bob Costas, for joining us, joining in the conversation. If you know me, you know, and Dom Giordano knows this, Dan knows this, I always have this half glass full where I believe that if I can have the conversation with Bob Costas, that I can be an evangelist. Like I can save him. You know what I mean? I can get anybody to see the light.
Save him from his own embarrassment.
Yes. And so that's really from, and I mean that in a genuine way. I always have that. If I'm like, if we could just have the conversation, I know I could bring him. I could take him to the light and take him out of the dark side.
We're talking about the Bob Costas here.
Yes. So it might take more than one conversation, but I always like, I'm gonna make him see the light, my brother Bob, so that he can find the goodness in the light of Donald J. Trump, as I wink, wink. But no, seriously, we have to talk more about it. Dom Giordano is coming up. Is Dom still in the... What a beautiful day. If you're down the shore, and I think Dom is, What a beautiful day to be at the Jersey Shore or anywhere with this gorgeous weather and lower humidity. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Dawn, you're exactly right. Nice weather report. Can hardly wait to be on the beach with Ro. But, Dawn, first we have Eric Gregg coming on, the breaking story about Maxwell talking to the DOJ. But also he wrote the hoax book. And down here, Harry Hurley, our buddy, the Trump administration taking over the Atlantic City Housing Authority. It's beyond notorious. I don't even think Philadelphia can match it as far as the corruption. It's beyond belief. But it's the Trump administration, again, doing the right things.
Yes. Can't wait to hear the Dom Giordano show and as well say hi to my friend Harry. Dom's up next.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.